Actually, I was thinking of pulling kind of a hermit thing tonight.
Why?
I don't know. J.D. Salinger seems to dig it.
You don't want me to come over?
No, I almost never get the house all to myself. And I thought with my mom gone, I can finally do my laundry like exactly the way I like it. You know, not just separate into whites and colors, but the colors separated into darks, mediums, and lights with a separate pile for white t-shirts and t-shirts with some kind of writing on them. Like, you know, rock star, evil, Kafka's here. Kafka.
You want to do your laundry?
And watch TV and eat the Indian food that I love, but my mom hates the smell of, and just go to bed early and... Are you mad?
Ha! Why would I be mad? You want to spend the night alone.
But hey, tomorrow the whole day is all about you. I mean it. From morning till night, you plan it, or I'll plan it, or we can get a professional to plan it, whatever you want. Just don't be mad.
I'm not mad.
Good.
I'm confused, but I'm not mad.
Fine.
I'm a saint, but I'm not mad.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So deep breath and...
Do not attempt to adjust your podcast dial.
Your compassionate side.
Lesbians do love friendship and poetry.
You know, it's called an English degree. Look it up.
Look it up, bitch.
Worried about him. You okay, bud?
What have I viewed here today?
Like,
no.
Sorry. No. I won't do it.
Yeah, I'm making it sound really unpleasant to listen to.
No,
but like, 10
no,
out of 10,
no, I'm
I
intrigued. BRB. I have some AO3 keywords to gotta do some searches. Yes.
We control the horizontal, the vertical, and the backwards cowgirl.
Come with us on a magnificent journey of gender and sexuality as we plumb the depths of pop culture and television, starting right here and now with the Gilmore Girls. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Gabby, and you're listening to BoobTube, The Gilmore Years.
And I hope that you guys are ready to talk today.
Because I'm not. We were sharing before. I think we're both, to some extent, like, dysregulated, activated, hyper-aroused. This thing did things to our cortisol levels that I'm going to need to buy some, yep, like, sketchy Instagram supplements
exactly,
to deal with.
Exactly. Exactly. I need to be put into a melatonin coma for, like, 48 hours to just calm the nervous system.
I need my melatonin demons to lead a guided meditation.
Truly. I mean, obviously we'll get there, but fucking when Dean got thrown into the mix, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. Anyway, okay.
It's a lot. It's
today.
It's a lot.
We're talking about season 2, episode 16, There's the Rub. Before we get into that, we've got a couple things on the 411. And the first one I'm just going to touch on briefly. We talked a little bit about it before we started the show, but we got a message from Isabella Cassisi, I think. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. Who says, I love you guys. Would you consider just doing a single episode every other week? I tend to just save and listen back to back so that there is better mental continuity. I hope I make sense. Just wanted to say that I had not considered this. If you have like a super strong feeling regarding which you would prefer, one long episode every 2 weeks or parts 1 and 2 every week, you know, the way we've been doing it, you can DM us and let me know. I have no strong feeling either way. So I just wanted to put that out there and say that. Interesting idea. I don't know. I have no strong feeling. And then the second message that we got was from, oh, shoot. This is from Natalie. I can't remember her last name. But she says, hi, friends. I hope you're well. I was listening to the last episode and my heart went aflutter when you mentioned Sex and the City. As a geriatric millennial, j'adore Sex and the City, and I eagerly await any commentary you two care to offer on that show. But as to the reason for this message, I'm curious to know if Gabby has gone off Marie Callender pot pies. And if so, why? It's been like a year since a pot pie break.
I'm so glad. I've been itching for someone to ask, you know. And I would like to say first, this person, they have no reason to know this. They dropped the B in my name, but I'm going to say that's my least offensive version of misusing my name. They put the Y in, perfect. They didn't call me Reeves with an S, so they're still winning. I would much rather be a Gabby with one B. I think mostly I, you know, occasionally I'll dabble, but as I think many people who have some kind of neurodivergent tendency, I tend to eat the same thing until I literally am so sick of it that I might puke. And as you, as our listeners know, I really did that with Marie Callender's, and no shade to those pot pies. I still go back sometimes. I recently discovered the chicken corn chowder pie, which I'm loving. But when you do that to yourself with a song, with food, it's a long time before you can really get back in there with it in a serious way.
I 100% understand that. Really, really hard.
Yep.
Yeah. Once you can't go back. There's no going back after a hyperfixation. I mean, unless it comes back organically, which does happen, but
yeah, it just might take a few years. Like, yeah, we might have to get to the next eclipse before I'm like really ready to get back in my pies.
Right, right, right. Get back in my pies.
Now, that being said, if they wanted to sponsor us, like, fuck my needs, I'll eat whatever they tell me to
eat.
Please,
and absolutely.
I'll probably sit on them for an OnlyFans if I need to.
Yo, 100%. If that's on the table, I'll sit on them for OnlyFans. Like, whatever.
And I think we said this on the Patreon part, but, like, we are plotting something to talk about Sex and the City.
Yes.
I would also love if we all, including maybe our surprise guest, come dressed as the Sex and the City character that we most identify with. Own any clothing that would be applicable? No, but
I mean, I love it. All we can do is try.
What character do you think you are? Just a little like amuse-bouche, if you have to put yourself in that quadrant.
This is really hard, and I've been thinking about it a lot, and I'm not sure that I have an answer, because it changed. When I was younger and it was airing, mm-hmm. I was one person. I won't give it away, because I want everyone to listen to our thing, but yes. And it's changed, and I can talk about this part because I'm not sure about it yet. I think so far the person I'm resonating with most is Carrie. Because
I see that. You're a complex person.
Thank you. And like, she is, I feel that she, I can see my younger romance journey and her romance journey, where she's like extremely monogamous and like sort of can talk about sex and think about sex, but doesn't actually physically have a lot of sex in the show, or has like a normal amount of sex in the show.
She's like the most judgmental of all of them in some ways about sex stuff. Like,
yeah.
Not judgmental, but like the least adventurous.
Right. And I sort of, I can definitely see, not to say that I'm like not adventurous in, when it comes to sex, but like I can, that's the closest I think that I can resonate with any of the characters. It's also gotten really complicated because of gender stuff, so like I no longer really see myself represented at all.
Right, right. But we can also tag ourselves in all the boyfriends that yeah. they've had. So like, just, I mean, that's not necessarily representing anyone's gender either, but
right,
just to really
yeah.
spread out the things that are happening.
Totally, yeah. Because the gender element is kind of present now where it wasn't really in the past. But yeah, and it's also interesting because my favorite character, the one I most resonated with as like whatever, you know, a preteen when this was airing, or a teenager rather, I now can't stand her. She's really,
wait, mouth it so I know and the patrons
well,
know.
Okay, it's Miranda.
Miranda. That's my Steve.
Miranda. And I like Steve. I mean, she's like, whatever. We'll get to it. We'll talk about it on the show.
Yes. Are you going to watch the
yes.
new one? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I got to find them. I don't know where they are on the internet, but I'll track them down.
Max. They're, oh, Max. Well, I don't know about the movies, but the new series is
okay,
on Max.
Okay. Got it.
Or HBO. I will not be dragged into this. I'm calling it HBO.
Well, thank you, because speaking of, that leads us nicely into my next point. I'm not having fun on X anymore, which is the old Twitter.
That note, I was almost texted you to be like, I'm so curious what this means, because with all the like quotation marks and then like the AOL speak, I got lost in the sauce. Okay, yeah. Now it makes sense. Thank you.
We have a Twitter. Obviously, we mentioned it at the end of every show, but I haven't been updating it very much. And which like isn't a problem. I don't mind just having a Twitter, but if people are like messaging us sometimes. One of the changes that's happened in Twitter is that all of your notifications are just like bullshit now. Like it's all just nothing, ads and shit.
Yep.
So I can't even tell if you're, there's a couple of our listeners that like exclusively contact us through Twitter. And I worry that I'm missing out on things that you say, but so yeah, I don't know. This is more like a statement, I guess, that our Twitter is like nothing. And I don't know that we need to like delete it, but I just wanted to make it official that I'm like not over there anymore, personally, professionally,
yes, that's such a good point, because I'm over there, but like why? Like you said, the notifications are not even people I follow. It's just
no,
like someone posted
crap.
A picture of like popping a balloon in a baby's face and they cry. Yeah. Are you happy like I told you about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah. So like, it's not fun. I'm not having fun. So, please don't contact us through Twitter. I probably won't see it because the notifications are so busted. Yeah. We're on Instagram. We're on Patreon. We have a Gmail account, which I think is boobtubeforever@gmail.com or something like that. It's in our link tree for sure. But yeah, Twitter's dead.
Yeah, maybe this is my call to arms to finally get off of it, because every time I just, like, see someone get pushed into traffic, and then the next one is, like, you know, woman shows her nipple accidentally. I
know. It's like, okay, I know, and there are a few, like, creators on there that I do follow. Most of it's, like, sexy stuff, obviously. But,
whoa,
like, and whatever. Anyway, so that's how I feel about Twitter. And the last thing that I wanted to mention was that we got an ad, a paid ad. We got an offer for a paid ad from Buzzsprout that I accepted, and I didn't realize that it was like a one-shot thing, which is fine. But we ran an ad on our last episode for another podcast called The Big Cunty Couch.
Wow.
And they like, whatever. I don't know how it fucking works, but like we got offered this ad and I was like, sure, whatever. I listened to the like audio that would be playing.
Right. To make sure it wasn't like an ad for neo-Nazism.
Exactly.
Cool. Thank you for doing that.
It was like gay people talking about gay stuff. I was like, okay, yeah, you got that. And then I got this email that was like, you got paid for your ad. And it was a hot 39 cents.
So, ooh, that's piping hot.
But I think this is like a one-off thing that Buzzsprout is doing, which is the company that like hosts our podcast. They're doing these like one-off ads. So if anyone happens to hear an ad at the beginning of any of our episodes, I will check them all before I approve them. But don't be scared. It's just a random. We just need those hot 40 cents.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank God. We're finally getting remunerated for our time.
At last. And that's it for the 411. Do we want to do a brief coffee clutch? Again, we're going to be talking for like ever, but.
No, I'm in. Like, I'm wearing my adult diapers. Okay. Zoe, tell me everything.
I am excited because tonight I randomly took tomorrow off, and tonight Chelsea and I are driving in to Boston because she's like working an event tomorrow at Harvard.
Cool.
And I had totally forgotten that my mom is in Brookline like now. I'm getting her in like 2 weeks, which that's when she's coming to Connecticut.
Okay, got it.
So that's why I had forgotten when her trip starts, because it ends with me. But yeah, so I'm going to try and hang out with her on Monday, and I'm really excited. It's going to be fun. What about you?
I don't know what exciting I have besides hanging out with you and Caitlin next weekend. That's upcoming. But this past weekend, actually the last 2 weekends, I've done some sort of trash cleanup near my house because Mike and I did one together last weekend. And then this weekend I went and did like my town's one because Mike couldn't do it this weekend. And I just like helping my community to be clean.
Yeah,
so it was really satisfying. And I found a weird hunk of stone that I was really happy and like proud of and showed everyone. And then I took it home and I was like, this is just a rock. Like, why was I talking to everyone about this rock? It's like not that great. Whatever.
This rock's not that great.
And then the saddest thing I found was there's obviously, or at least if you live somewhere rural, it's probably obvious, there's a lot of like McDonald's, but also a ton of like alcohol cans and bottles. But nips is like the A number one. Mm-hmm. Littering thing. And I found this one little area where there was a pile of like Fireball and like vodka nips, and just amongst the litter there was an AA chip, which was heartbreaking.
Oh no.
So those were my two big finds of the trash cleanup.
Oh, so close.
It really told a story. And the other thing I'm thinking of is Mike and I watched most of that show Baby Reindeer, and it is wild.
Okay, I have seen it on Netflix, but I don't know anything about it, so.
The conceit is the main actor, it's like the true story is something that happened to him, but it's not a documentary, it's like a recreated drama version.
Okay.
And when I say that, like, the plot is about him getting stalked by a middle-aged woman, that's not the most disturbing thing that happens to him that he is depicting. Mm. And I've also heard some weird things about him, which makes sense, because it's like, that is a lot. Wow, to be an actor reenacting your own most traumatic memories in a fictionalized setting, I would recommend, but definitely take that with a with a grain of like, it's a lot. It's a lot that's happening.
Know what you're going into. Wow. Okay. No, I had no idea.
I really liked it, but yeah, I would not say like, you know, if you need a cozy reset with the fam, I wouldn't say to like belly up to this show.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I'm sort of like 1 foot into a true crime slash all of its accoutrements moment right now. So I probably will check it out, but this sounds insane.
It was definitely like a having a woman stalking a man. There's, I mean, again, there's a million other things going on, but it felt like not something I've seen a ton of.
Yeah, true. Okay.
I'm thrilled to announce. Actually, do we want to do intervening apps first, or should I do the?
Yeah, let's. I think that's correct. Let's talk about some of these notes from intervening apps. Do you want to kick us off?
Actually, can you start? Because I have the most to say about the second episode. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So one of the episodes, the first episode we missed was episode 11, Secrets and Loans. Lorelai's concern over the fact that she can't afford to repair her home's extensive termite damage turns to anger when Rory tells Emily about their problem and Emily offers Lorelai a loan. Word. Okay. That's
cool.
More Emily stuff. Got it.
Yes. We also missed episode 12, Richard in Stars Hollow. Newly retired Richard is driving Emily crazy. So Lorelai is coerced into taking her father for a day in Stars Hollow, where he proceeds to drive both Lorelai and Rory batty while criticizing every aspect of their lives and refusing to let Rory accept the car that Dean has built for her. I just remember this one specifically because, like, it's everything we've talked about when we talked about hate watching Gilmore Girls. And in one of the times that I attempted to rewatch the show, this is where I had to stop because I got too angry.
That's really funny.
So it's just a classic example of Richard, like, old white manning his way in and being like, I'm the boss of your lives. Oh, and they kind of fight back, but they kind of go with it. And it's really infuriating.
Hard to watch based on the novel Push by Sapphire. And then the third one we missed was episode 13, A Tisket, A Tasket, which we might, which was on our to watch, our schedule of episodes that we are going to watch, but it was like organized wrong. We don't know why. So we might do A Tisket, A Tasket for Patreon at some point.
I think if memory serves, that's a classic one of like Rory being like, it's not my fault. Jess like bought my basket. So like I'm contractually obligated to whore myself out to him and like have breakfast or whatever with him. Like I have no free will in the situation.
My hands are tied. Well, then I'm kind of then and maybe it's OK that we missed that one because I feel like this Rory Jess thing is. It's like just ongoing for it's just the same shit over and over.
It's a heavy burden to hold.
Yeah. And the one after that was It Should Have Been Lorelai. Christopher and his girlfriend Sherry visit Stars Hollow. So Lorelai takes Christopher to Friday night dinner with her parents. Things occur. Cool. Yeah.
And finally, we skipped season 2, episode 15, Lost and Found. Rory panics when she suddenly realizes that she lost the bracelet Dean made for her. And Luke snaps after living with Jess in the tiny apartment over the diner, which does explain all the construction we see in this episode.
Yes. Okay, good. I'm glad we got that note. But just
honestly,
like,
I'm glad that Luke was pushed to the edge by that, though, because if he wasn't bothered by it, I was going to start to get worried.
Same. I'm like, it's funny though, and I know there's more in these episodes than the synopsis because when I read the synopsis for episodes we've covered, I'm often like, this doesn't talk about X, Y, and Z. But yeah, just reading all this, I'm just so pleased that all of the Jess, Rory, Dean triangle stuff that we've missed, just like, thank you.
yes. The idea, I will say, the idea of like losing something accidentally and feeling guilty because you know you've also done something else bad and you're just like projecting that onto the thing you accidentally did, aka losing the Dean bracelet because maybe you're losing your hard on for Dean.
Right.
That feels real.
Totally. I mean, it's so weird in this show, and we'll talk about it, but especially this episode, like it is not clear how Rory feels about Jess, to me anyway.
Right.
If she's actually interested and denying it, or is she just scared? I'm not sure.
Right. Or like, it's like when you're like at the edge of a tall building and you're like, but what if I jump?
Right.
Like, I'm kind of tempted just because like, just, what would happen?
Just fuck everything up. Might as well, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm alive. Yeah. But okay, let's get into this episode specifically.
Yes, this episode was directed by our good friend Amy Sherman Palladino, written by Same and Sheila Lawrence. And the quickie summary is Lorelai and Emily spend a weekend at the health spa. Back at home, Rory looks forward to a rare evening alone, but Paris, Jess, and Dean all drop by, aka my literal nightmare.
Like literally everybody except her actual friend, Lane.
So true. Because Lane knows better. Lane respects her space.
I know. Lane would understand. Sorry, I don't even know what happened. A dog thing.
Clearly, this is going to be an episode where we have to check in on creatures.
This is a dog heavy, a creature heavy episode.
Which Lorelai goes on a whole run about dogs, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Yes. And I love the way she says it. Like, it's as close as you'll ever be to you'll ever get to being a dog. Like, that's something everybody obviously wants.
Sure. Yes, of course. Yeah.
But yeah, okay, let's get into it. Do you want to kick us off at Luke's diner?
I would love to. So we open at Luke's diner. Luke is serving food amidst what appears to be construction chaos. He starts yelling at Tom, who lets us know Luke is getting his apartment redone. Oh, thank God. We get a bedroom for Justifer. Oh,
sorry.
Funny. There's complications. Pipes need to be moved, etc. I think like the termite episode we skipped, this is probably way more stressful to watch as an adult. Yeah. And when you actually know how stressful that would be. Mm-hmm. Rory and Lorelai walk in, but Lorelai's phone immediately rings, so she leaves to answer it per Luke's no phone policy. And then Luke handing Rory umbrella goof, which is he walks by in like a construction hat and hands her an umbrella. Because to Luke's credit, they sat somewhere where he was like, you shouldn't sit there. Like three people got beamed earlier today, and they're like, fuck you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, I did stop and take a screenshot of this because the silent handoff of the umbrella is quite funny.
Yes. And again, maybe because it's no speaky, but it's the most I've liked Jess, where he was just in a hard hat, silently handing off an umbrella, which is actually helpful and right. Funny.
Yes. Yeah. And he, yeah. Yeah. Didn't show up unexpectedly when no one invited him.
And refused to leave when someone was begging as a friend to help them avoid the anger.
Anyway. The anger. Outside Luke's, we find out it's Emily on the phone. She wants to know if Lorelai would like a gift certificate for a spa weekend at Birch Grove Spa. She bought it at a charity thing because she had to bid on something, but she doesn't want to go to the spa. But while Lorelai is telling her why the spa is so great, she makes it sound a little too good, and Emily decides that she will tag along with Lorelai for the spa weekend. How fun!
I mean, I wrote this in my note, but I was relieved that at least Lorelai knew this was coming because my memory was that Emily came out of nowhere like a sniper in the mist. So I'm glad that Lorelai at least knew what she was getting into.
Yeah, that is much better than her just showing up.
Yes. And that's where we get, well, I don't know if you want to do it, but Lorelai's monologue about being a dog.
Yeah, well, Lorelai just says, it's as close as you'll ever come to being a dog. You know, a whole life of nothing but eating, sleeping, lying on your back and getting rubbed. And Emily says, I'd love the comparison to stop there. And Lorelai just says, deal. And change the subject.
Yes, fully moves on. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's something Mike would say with a dreamy look in his eyes. It's not something I've seen from Lorelai before, but I guess it makes sense given her love of eating, right. Being horizontal,
yeah.
I guess rubbing.
I mean, it makes sense. Everything she says, yeah, sounds pretty good to me, but it was just funny. Like, I've never considered that.
Like, yes.
God, yeah. If I could only be a dog.
Back inside Lukey's, Lorelai tells Rory about the spa situation, and Rory advises her mom to, like, lean forward so they can be under the umbrella to avoid falling drywall, which, again, this is, like, an indelible image for me of this series, is the two of them under that umbrella in Luke's. In Lorelai's boudoir, Lorelai hangs up the phone while Rory folds and packs in the background. Lorelai has managed her day with her mom down to the minute to avoid actually being alone with Emily. Lorelai starts asking Rory what she's going to do while Lorelai's out of town, like bikers, low lives, what's the party situation, but Rory only has eyes for falling asleep with the TV on. Lorelai exclaims Rory needs to have some bad teen fun while she is
out of office.
Out of office. Cute. She grabs a folded sweater from her daughter and heaves it across the room to prove her point. Rory says she'll see what she can do.
And then, yeah, this is just a explanation of what Lorelai did to make sure that she and her mom are like completely separated for the whole day. But she mentions a back facial in there, which
don't know what it is. Want one?
Yeah, sounds good. And Lorelai in this scene is wearing a pink baseball t-shirt that says, among other things, yoga kills. I think it actually says yoga kills like several times, like in a list.
Ooh.
So it's, which I did appreciate. It was funny.
Yeah. And there was definitely a moment happening because it was making me think of this fuck yoga shirt that was That's in right. your favorite TV show, I think on Samantha's young boyfriend.
Yes.
And there's definitely, I think it's Shane, but a character in L Word wears like a sleeveless tee with that same fuck yoga thing on it.
Sounds like something Shane would wear.
Yeah. I also just thought that Rory's night sounded perfect, like Indian food, TV, laundry, like I came.
This was tough because I don't think Rory could have picked like a night that we would have resonated with more, like specifically yes. the Indian food too. Like it's just all so on brand.
And I want to protect it for her.
Yes, exactly. And so when it doesn't work out, I feel like we were even more distressed.
Literally in distress. It's a good thing I had a dog here. I needed an emotional support animal during this episode.
But someone outside the house, someone honks a horn and Lorelai comes to the window and says, "Ah, geez." And Rory comes to the same window and is like, "Ah, cool." And yeah. then we get a peek outside and Emily brought the limo. Ooh. And Lorelai is just like, what's she honking for? She hates honking. She calls it a mechanical bodily function.
Such an Emily turn of phrase.
I know.
This is where I start. Like, some things about Lorelai's complaints I really get, and some things I don't. Like, someone's pulling up with on a limo to take me to a free spa day? Like, fuck yeah.
This is in this episode where Lorelai begins to resist everything.
Yes. Yes.
And, like, that is a trend that's going to continue until basically Emily calls her on it. I mean, like, this episode's kind of interesting because I don't think either of them are perfect. I think they both, you know, yes, are trying in their own ways. But definitely, I think I say this later, it's worth saying that, like, up in the beginning, Emily is completely genuine and authentic about all this. Like, she's really excited to go to the spa. Like, she didn't even want to go to the spa, but now she's so totally stoked. And Lorelai is just pushing her off and will not play with her, will not be excited.
Totally.
Yeah.
And that's where I get into a little bit of that. Like, you are getting a free spa date. And yes, I know it's TV, so they have to go. But, like, you could cancel if you actually don't like this. Like, you are an adult human.
Right. I mean, and, like, at first, it's all Lorelai being a little shit. And then later on, Emily, like, won't shut up. And then that, again, like, resonated with me as a daughter to a mother. I was like, I can see myself here a little bit. But again, like, Lorelai won't play with her, won't do anything besides, like, roll her eyes. So back at Chilitons, which I thought was funny, Paris gets an A- assignment in her chem class, and she, like, immediately starts panicking. She asks Madeline and Louise if they will cancel their Friday night date plans and study with her instead. There's like a who's on first with them all that drives Paris to cancel the whole thing because she can't stand just the silliness. And instead she stalks over to Rory and asks if she'll study with her. Paris says she can't focus lately because things are so weird in her house. And I wanted to say exactly what she says. She says, "Things are so weird at my house. My dad finally figured out exactly how much it was going to cost him to divorce my mom. So now he's back and it's bad enough that I wasted all that time crunching the numbers with him."
Paris.
I know. But now that he's back, they're fighting and redecorating. The place is a mess. I need help. And that's like very vulnerable for Paris. Rory says that she can't study tonight because she's got her like alone plans, but promises to help every day next week. Paris is not convinced, but she agrees.
I just thought that was such a lovely compromise. Like, Rory even, like, appeals to her anxiety by giving this full layout of, like, what she's going to do to support her the next week. And I wish anyone on the show knew how to respect boundaries ever.
I know. And it's also an echo of exactly what she told Dean. So literally she's telling everyone, like, I just want this one night. Next week is all about you guys. I will attend to none of my needs, I swear.
Yes, I'm begging for simply one night to have to, as you said, tend to my own needs. Yeah. And literally, like, half the town is like, fuck that, we're coming.
You. Yeah, that's so rude. I can't believe you would do that. Like, oh, my God.
Oh, golly. So then we pull up to the Birch Grove Spa. The bee. Emily is just enchanted by the spa. It smells like eucalyptus. There are cucumber slices in the water. Lorelai is her snarky self in response to all her mother's delight. They check in, and Lorelai finds out they don't have caffeine of any kind here. She is not happy. Lorelai says, she's like looking at the schedule, yeah. And she's like, oh no, they screwed up our appointments. But Emily's like, again? Like, I already called and fixed it so we could be together all the time, every day, every second. She undid all of Lorelai's work. So their apartment, their appointments are aligned. They're going to be, yeah, not a spidge of space for them either, together all day.
I'm curious, what did Emily think spa was? If not like a nice smelling place with cucumber, like what did she think went on there?
Yes. Isn't she a rich lady? How has she never been to a spa?
Exactly. Like how have you not experienced this before? But okay. And yeah, I just wanted to say this is the part where I was like, Emily is being authentic here and genuine. She's like really excited about everything. And Lorelai is just like, you like cucumber in the water? Like, I'll throw a full zucchini in there for you. You know, like it's like Lorelai right. Shit.
Right. She says now if they have ranch dressing in the soap dispensers, this place was great. No, totally true.
There was some excellent comedic timing with this line where the guy behind the counter is like, you ladies are booked solid, I see. And Emily says, well, we intend to leave here completely different people. And Lorelai says, yes, I'm going to be Ted Nugent. And silence. No yes. Response. That got me.
Yes. Yeah, but in general, I feel like Emily's whole thing is she's always, like, picking and has something to say and nothing's ever good enough. Right, so, like, right. It really feels like she's done a 360 in this moment. But, yeah, Lorelai is, like, still living in the world of, like, must fight mother.
Right. Like, again, yeah, Emily is so characteristically picky that it's unusual for her to be so enchanted unexpectedly by, like, something. And right. Lorelai just will not meet her even halfway.
And as we're talking, given that she is a rich woman who's probably been to a spa, it feels more and more like, for whatever reason, Emily is like deciding to be all in on this because it's something she and Lorelai are doing together. But of course, she can't say that. Right. She's just like fully committed to the bit. Yeah. And while I totally get that, the idea of someone insisting on being with me and talking to me while I attempt to do all these relaxing spa treatments and changing the plans that I made mm-hmm. behind my back mm-hmm. as a surprise does give me hives. Yeah. So I do kind of see Lorelai's perspective on that.
Oh, totally. I mean, it sort of happens in waves. Like the first block of the experience is Lorelai being shitty and Emily being nice. And then it segues into her over talking. And yeah, at that point, it's like, okay, everyone's behaving poorly.
Yes.
But before we get there, mm-hmm. we're going to go to the Stars Hollow Kissing Tree, where Rory and Bean are sucking face big time. Dean was thinking since Lorelai is going to be gone, he could come over.
I thought this was going to lead into are we having sex for the first time conversation.
Me too.
Okay.
Me too. Rory says, hey, that sounds great, but maybe also you could not do that and leave me alone in the glorious empty house by myself so I can hyperfixate on laundry. Indian food and TV. Oh my God, she is the voice of the people, Rory for president.
Yep.
Dean is allegedly not mad, but he's obviously making a lot of concessions here. Mm-hmm. Or he feels he's making a lot of concessions.
He states he is.
Right. And we did this monologue, or not monologue, we did this back and forth at the top of the show where Dean is clearly like barely keeping a lid on his simmering rage. I also added a goof down here when Dean is like, I'm confused, but I'm not mad. I'm a saint, but I'm not mad. I think he should have said, I'm a bitch. I'm a lover. I'm a child. I'm a mother, but I'm not mad.
I read that before I got to that part in the scene, and I was so heartbroken that it wasn't an actual line. I was like, do I love Dean? Is he my favorite character?
Wow. What a 180 or whatever. Right. And yeah, at the end of the scene, I was just left thinking like, oh my God, that went south so fast. Like really impressed. Because at the beginning, when he says, why would I be mad? You just want to be alone. Like, I was like, his tone doesn't really imply that he's super mad yet. And I was like, oh, maybe he's going to be chill. Could not have been more wrong.
I felt by that point he was like, if you'd pan down, he was gripping his fist so tight that blood was like seeping out of his fingies. I was just repressed at that point.
That became very clear the longer that he talked. It's like, oh no.
Yeah. This also is making me feel like we're both really lucky because I feel like we both have partners who would totally understand and protect our alone.
I mean, that's needs. Key. Like, that's definitely something that, yeah, you and I desperately need. So, mm-hmm. you know, being that we are the age that we are when we were vetting partners, that yep. was like a big thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Shall we mosey along
Let's.
To Bitch Grove Spore? Lorelai lets Emily in through their adjoining rooms. Naturally, Emily has set that up too. Emily loves the robe, starts this ongoing run of her love affair with the robe. Mm-hmm. She begins reading from a pamphlet about their impending treatments. Emily wants Lorelai to put on her robe, and though Lorelai tries to resist, like, Emily's gonna get her way, so she gives up and dons the robe, but she's immediately sent back to her room to put on the matching slippers, or else it's unacceptable. I mean, my two things were just, I wish someone would read me from the brochure about, like, I love the facial lady is like, this has chamomile, which calms blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, that's my favorite. And I also can identify with Emily being like, you will like it more if you do this, so I'm willing to make you unhappy because I know you're going to love this robe so much.
I agree. I think that at this point, Emily is still being fun Emily to me. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm, nothing mm-hmm. she's doing, she is being pushy, but, like, that's mm-hmm. Emily's personality, and we know that.
Yes.
And, yeah, like you said, like, she's, like, I also felt that she's, like, trying to get Lorelai to join her in the fun. So it's like, put your rope, yes. do the thing. Like, come on, you yes. have to be here.
Also, that's so stupid if you have a room at the spa to leave your street clothes on and, like, change in some weird locker room. Like, nobody why does would you that. Do that? That's stupid.
That's totally yeah. weird. No, nobody. Yeah. yeah, she's wearing, like, sweats, which, like, whatever. But everyone's going to wear the robe. Come on. So once the treatments are underway, we go to the facial room for facials specifically, and Lorelai is smeared and wrapped in towels. She's got the, you know, she's, whoop, sorry, I just punched my mic. She's got the like blue stuff, the face mask, mm-hmm. And she's grooving to some light Enya on her own when Emily weasels into her room and like draws a chair up to the side of her, you know, like massage bed. Mm-hmm. She immediately starts chattering about her foot sweat and will not stop. And this is when the talking begins for Emily. Or not mm-hmm. begins, but like revs up into a fever pitch.
Yeah. And like Lorelai has like the, you know, it's part of the foot sweat conversation, but she has like those like warming mitts on her hands. Yes. Like she is trapped in a way where like, again, I felt like the physical discomfort of like cannot escape.
Right. She's like plugged in, like not mm-hmm. leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. I just like, I don't want to talk to the massage person when I'm getting a massage. I definitely don't want to talk to someone else. When Mike and I have gotten massages together, it's like basically different times. Like yeah. just like send them in one after another.
Thank you. I mean, I've gotten couples massages before. I don't really get it per se. I mean, I guess I get it, but I'm fine. I don't need that. If I'm having unless a massage, I'm already happy.
Yeah, unless we're somewhere rich enough that we're paying enough for people to, like, prepare us to fuck each other, there's no point.
Oh, that's totally different.
Yeah.
That's totally different. Would do that.
Yeah, I love the scene. It ends with this, like, forlorn, like, moving zoom onto Lorelai's face of, like, you know, it's like the sad Dust Bowl woman. Like, we're really, like, let's get in there on her suffering as she disassociates.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, she's doing a lot of, like, yeah, staring into the middle distance. And
yes, begging for death.
The next scene is just, like, them walking down the hallway. Emily is still chattering. At this point, this is when I was like, okay, wait a second. I see myself, like, in Lorelai when it's just like, Mom, shut up. like, I love you so much, but just stop. Lorelai leads them into a quiet room so that Emily will be forced to shut the F up.
I like the physical comedy when Lorelai, like, pushes her back out of the room when yes. she's still talking and, like, smacks the door under the quiet room sign. And right. Emily's like, oh, fine.
Yeah, it's just like an eye roll, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I pulled this quote about mud baths, which doesn't matter, but I've never seen the appeal of a mud bath, which is what they've just done. Like, it seems like a lot. Like, I felt there was going to be mud in your vagina for, like, longer than you. I mean, maybe wear underwear. I don't know. But it just seems like
a lot. I don't know. It does seem like a lot. I mean, that's... Anything, a bath of anything that's not water might be odd no matter Oof. What. Because, like...
I don't think I pulled any Gilmore Wisdom, but I think that's what I'm putting is in the Gilmore Wisdom.
Okay, yeah. Because I'm also thinking about people do milk baths, and that also feels
disgusting.
It feels like my skin wouldn't be able to breathe, which I guess it can't also breathe underwater, but like, I don't know for like a regular bath.
I'm a very smell forward person. That's so if I was like so smelling true. My own skin and milk, that's I would be projectile vomiting.
Yeah.
So then we go to the massage room. This is where the famous couple's massage is happening. We sort of see Lorelai first, and then it pans up. So we see that Emily is right next to her getting worked on. Lorelai and Emily are laid out under the sheets next to each other. Lorelai can't take it anymore. She says couple massages are for couples who have sex with robes on. And Emily is like humiliated and asks the masseurs to like step outside. Emily calls Lorelai out for being as miserable as possible and acting like a petulant 4-year-old, then makes her fetch the masseurs back in.
Yeah, she at one point screams, or she just, like, I guess yells. She's like,
barks.
Your hands are amazing. Compliment your masseur's hands, Lorelai. Yes. Just, like, shut up.
It's also such a classic mother-daughter thing that, like, when she makes them step out, Lorelai's, like, kind of takes it and is like, you're right, I am being, like, you know, in a bit of a snit. And then immediately her mother's like, great, Lorelai, fetch them back.
Yep.
Like, yeah, all right, next, great, next, moving on.
I really felt that eye roll when Lorelai gets up to do it. Like, oh, Christ.
Yes. And, like, again, Emily is not wrong about Lorelai's attitude, but when Emily goes on this run of, like, if you don't want to be in here with me, maybe there's, like, a supply closet.
Oh, my God, yes.
Or perhaps I just roll myself against a stucco wall, eliminating the need for a masseur altogether, which was funny, but stupid.
A little stupid and abusive.
Manipulative.
Manipulative is a better word. Yes. Yeah. And then at that point, Lorelai has to like beg to like, no, mom,
stay, mommy,
I want
please.
You to be here so bad. Yeah. Just like, oh, crap. Ooh, you're a little bit evil.
Yeah. Speaking of things that make you go, ugh, I just wrote male masseuses. Disgusting.
Yeah, no,
I've had
you.
One and it was that arm hair rubbing against your back. I would rather have the mud bath, the milk mud bath.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I guess I would do a male masseuse. I would do a male.
You'd have a male seussical, a one man performance
okay,
of seussical for you.
I would not do that. I would have a male. I mean, okay, I would accept a male masseuse, one, if they're trans, and I can tell, obviously.
Okay, yes. Yes.
Two, and sometimes you can't tell, you know. Two.
But they're like disclosing. That.
Right. They're like, hey, just so you know, I'm trans. I'm like, okay, fantastic. Or if they were like very obviously, very effeminately gay.
True, yeah. I'm, again, general, I just, you know. I prefer a woman's hand, but also gender is not necessarily the only determinant of what your hands are like. So if true. You have a womanly hand, call me.
Oh, my God. We've been talking a lot recently about the masseuse that Chelsea and I used to see in Southbridge. We like found this woman who was working out of a hair salon and she did all these treatments and stuff. And Chelsea loved her. She was, I would say she was probably about 4'9", just like the tiniest mm-hmm. little lady with the strongest little hands I have ever known. Yep. It was wild.
That's anyway. Like my current person that I go to in Pittsfield. She like, her space is like part of an office situation with like no other spaces rented. It's like down the scary hallway over like a taqueria, like where there's, you know, fajitas sizzling away. And she is incredible. And like, I literally leave like drunk. And she also offers other services. Like there's one where her pet snake will ride around on your back to soothe you. Oh, and like, God. I haven't done that one, but I love that for her.
Incredible.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Rory is ordering food. She's on the phone with whatever the Indian place is called. I've already forgotten.
And puts them on hold, which is bold. Like, I've called you to place an order.
Very. Lorelai calls. They're interrupted. They're just chatting on the phone. And they're interrupted by the doorbell. It's Paris, and she's on one already. She's irate that Rory wouldn't study with her just so she can do laundry in her pajamas. So again, like, Paris comes in, sees what Rory's doing, and is like, you wouldn't be with me just so you could do this?
Right. I have automatic ownership over your time, and you have to justify when I don't get it.
Right. You can't just be alone. That's not an option.
Yeah. Totally.
But, and I did appreciate, I think Rory, again, makes a lovely, what's the word? Compromise. She shouldn't have to compromise. Mm-hmm. But I thought she did when she was like, okay, I will study with you for 1 hour and then you will leave. Yep. Also, I know, and I think Rory probably knows, that Paris is likely to listen to this plan. Like, she will study for an hour and then fucking leave.
Yes. Yeah. Especially if you're begging her with fear in your eyes.
Right. So like,
she'll probably leave.
I think Rory, you know, hedges her bets. She's like, okay, I know that Rory will, I'm sorry, I know that Paris will likely listen to me and actually go. So yes. Okay. We'll do this.
And fine. I also thought it was so classic Paris that when Rory goes to change out of her pajamas, she's like, okay, God, and to be clear, the hour does not start until you get back. Got it. Okay. Great. Logging that now. Thank you.
Also love that because I was thinking that like that. I love that specificity. I just love it. I don't know. It reminded me of like a lot of my autistic friends. And I just like how cut and dry that is. Like,
yes, that's soothing to know too. Like if you're telling me this is an hour, like when does the hour start? I need to know that.
Like, let's be clear.
Totally. Totally. A couple other random thoughts. I liked when Lorelai is already like complaining to Rory on the phone. Rory's like, how's the spa? And Lorelai says, tranquil. And Rory says, really? And Lorelai says, I wasn't done. Tranquilizers will be required if I have to spend one more minute with my mother, which actually I think you pulled this quote, but I like it.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah, I do too. That made me laugh as well.
What did we think about Rory's Indian food order?
So I just opened the script because I don't remember what she ordered.
It's two garlic naan, which is a good start.
Yeah.
Three samosa. I love samosa, but like, three samosa. Chicken vindaloo, not my go-to. Mm-hmm. And then the green sauce and no salad. So I'm like, you're only getting one ulam, or you're only getting one like meat thing. Like you should get two meat things and a rice. Like this is a classic mistake.
And is the green sauce palak paneer, or is the green sauce that little like
just because she just said chutney. Sauce, I'm assuming it's just a little chutney, which is like, I thought you ate a lot. Like, what are you doing? You want all that naan and then nothing else to dip it in?
Too much naan, girlfriend.
So yeah, I mean, I'm a basic bitch, so I do a lot of like chicken korma or chicken tikka masala with a saag paneer. Like,
I'm absolute trash, as you know.
yes, we are the problem.
I don't even want like authentic Indian food. I want like Americanized. I want butter chicken. Like, it's terrible. I mean, don't get me wrong. If I were offered authentic Indian food, I would eat it and love it and enjoy it. In that order.
I definitely don't think I would know the difference. I think someone could be like, this is the real shit. And it'd be like almost identical. And I'd be like, wow, what a difference. Thank God you told me this is the real shit.
I'm sure that someone would be like, this is Indian food. And I'd be like, this is Indian food?
Oh my God, this is delicious.
Of course. When I order, I of an evening when I'm folding my laundry into based on what they say, based on the graphic tees. I'm definitely getting chicken korma, etc. Yeah. Yes. The dumbest Americanized food.
And it's so Gilmore Girls that like Lorelai has this whole thing about the smell of the Indian food. Like that's why Rory has to order it when she's not home. And then Jess has the exact same thought. Like, I get everyone here is white, but like, I feel like this has aged really badly. That they're like, stinky foreign food, stinky.
Yeah, exactly. Like when it was just Lorelai, I was like, okay, well, whatever. But then when Jess has the same opinion, completely separate from Lorelai, I was like, okay, now it's a little racist, actually.
Yep. And it seems like they get Rory to eat before the food even comes. So the show is like, the real victory is that she ate French fries instead of Indian food.
Good American food. Good, strong American fare.
The only other one thing I pulled out is I like this Paris quote when she's spiraling and she says she can't even read her own handwriting on her notes. And she says, what does this say? The person who wrote this should be dressed in a clown suit, stuffing bodies under their porch, which is, again, how I often reflect on things I've done.
Totally. Especially my handwriting, which is terrible.
Yes. Yes. Me. I mean, about me, not about you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. I think it's moi for this. Yeah. So we're back at the BGS, the Birch Grove Spa. Lorelai and Emily are getting ready to go out to dinner. Lorelai compliments Emily's outfit, and Emily compliments Lorelai's lipstick. And she asks what it is. And Lorelai says it's called Vicious Trollop. And Emily's like, you know, oh, stop it. Like, why are you like, you know, teasing me? And then she just like wordlessly like shows her the lipstick and it says Vicious Trollop. And she's like, wow, okay. Emily is aghast that you'd name a lipstick that, but she is enticed to try it at Lorelai's urging. She likes it. They're both like, oh, my God, we're looking snatched, to coin a phrase. They check out what's on the spa dinner menu because they're starving and it's mostly steamed tofu. But great, there's dessert. Cookies sweetened with sprouted mung bean. Yummy. Lorelai throws the menu on the bed and grabs her coat. And she says they're not eating the spa dinner. They're going to go have steak. Emily's fucking in.
She's so excited to not eat the mung bean cookies.
Yes.
And I can't blame her.
That is such a weird thing to me. Like, I guess I get it, but when you, there is like a really fancy spa around here that Mike and I have gone to once as like a special day. Mm-hmm. And like the food was good, but that is definitely a thing of like, you know, you're in a spa, so we have to give you stuff that's like kind of under seasoned and like
that's so strange.
Healthy. I don't know. It just feels like it should be a more luxurious experience. Like you should right. be getting the nicest dinner you've ever had and like a glass of wine.
Right. But instead it's like, yeah, stuff that's like good for you.
Right. Which again, I understand if it's like a yoga retreat where there's right. massages and blah, blah, blah. But it's when it's just a straight up spa, I don't understand mm-hmm. why they do that.
I agree.
I like when they're getting ready to leave and Lorelai is convincing Emily and she says, come on, Mom, oh, yeah. what's it going to be? Vicious Trollop or the Wide World of Mung Beans?
And that convinces her.
Yep. Yep. I mean, also, Mung Beans are foreign, so they should be distrusted, of course.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Oh, I also like this moment where Emily says, like, when she's trying on the lipstick, like, you'll tell me if I look ridiculous. And Lorelai is like, trust me, I will literally be the first to tell you when you look ridiculous doing anything. Yeah. Like, if nothing else, you can trust that in our relationship. Yeah,
that is a constant.
Yes.
Okay, let's pop back to the House of Lorelai's. Rory is quizzing Paris on the couch, wink, and says she's in much better shape than she thinks she is, wink. Rory answers the doorbell. It's Jess? Question mark. I was clearly surprised by this. Air quotes, Luke sent over a food care package because he knows Rory is alone tonight. And then Jess mm-hmm. makes this crack about you'll never get the smell of Indian food out of the house.
You'll have to burn the house down.
At this point, I felt, okay, this is bordering on racist. All right. And then this is where the barrier between Rory and alone time, it just gets thicker and thicker and farther mm-hmm. away. And I began to melt down just watching it.
Yep. And when I came to that, my comment was, I'm just saying I feel sick over and over to myself while I watch this happen. It's like a nightmare. It's like that movie Mother that we made Ariel watch on mute that time. Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I want someone to supercut this episode to the Mother trailer.
Oh, Jesus. when I read that comment, I was like, yes, that I feel sick is just how I feel. Just disgusting. I'm going to keep yes, talking.
Please.
Jess busts in to the front door, starts unloading the food in the kitchen. He claims he volunteered to deliver to get out of the construction zone. I continue to melt down because he will not leave.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, Paris makes herself known, and desperate to not be alone with Jess, Rory invites Paris to dinner. She's really excited. And like leaves to tell her nanny about how much mac and cheese she's about to eat. And Jess accuses Rory of thinking they need a chaperone. Paris calls her nanny to tell her about the mac and cheese. Okay, I already said that.
I just love that she leaves the mac and cheese. Like, I won't be home, but the really important, the headline is the metric ton of mac and cheese I'm about to be slamming.
She is so excited. I fucking love Paris.
She's very cute.
She's like, is that mac and cheese? I love mac and cheese. I'm not allowed to have mac and cheese. Do you have a 24-hour pharmacy just in case I have an allergic reaction to something?
I think she would have loved the, like, tummy trouble meme era that we're in.
Oh, totally. Yeah, bad girls have tummy trouble, or, like, bad bitches have tummy trouble.
Yes.
And the note that I had, which we've already sort of discussed, but I think this scene is supposed to be, like, Rory doesn't want to be alone with Jess because she's attracted to him, so she's, like, afraid of what will happen.
But right.
So far, I haven't read that. Like, it's more reading like he invited himself over to her house, into her home, and then to dinner and won't leave, even when she clearly wants him to. So in order not to be alone with him, out of fear, she invites Paris to stay.
Yes. And I think that you're 1,000% spot on with that. And the other vibe I got when Paris like reveals that she's been there the whole time is like a 50s movie where it's like, I can't tell my suitor that I don't want him because he'll like get that my gal pal is my lesbian lover because he's like, oh, I didn't realize she was here. I don't know. Like, he's acting weird, too. Like, he interrupted a tryst. So there's that layer on it.
No,
like Carol vibes.
She definitely doesn't want him to know that Paris is there. But why?
I mean, she's in better shape than she thought.
You know what I mean?
Anyway, let's go to the Jizz Jazz Club.
Hell yeah.
Is this me?
Jizz Jazz? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it turns out to be. The bar is pretty full, so Emily and Lorelai have to sit at the actual bar, like a couple of young bucks with good knees. They order two martinis and start looking at the menu. Emily is going to fucking town on peanuts. She loves peanuts now. They start people watching all the like older men and slightly younger ladies dates that are happening around them. And Lorelai points out a man who is like ogling Emily from across the room.
Yeah, I don't have much to say, I guess. Emily is like suspicious about everything, but she's like going along with it. She's excited. She loves these peanuts. I thought at this point, maybe this also had a weird vibe of like, is Emily okay? Like,
I felt like, Emily, did she accidentally eat like a weed brownie?
Right. Or is she having some sort of like attack? I don't know. Are you okay? Yes. Is this like a stroke side effect? I don't know.
Right.
But
yeah,
I guess
I think also I was hungry watching it. So I was like, fuck yeah, peanuts.
I thought it was going to be that she hasn't eaten. So she gets wasted and says something terrible.
Right.
And that was
and the it did kind of seem like she was getting loose.
Yeah. But they set up the peanuts a little too strongly because I was sure that's where it was going. But it
that
wasn't.
Actress was just like, I haven't had peanuts in a long time. Like, it's not about the character choice right now.
So salty.
Again, I was actually really into their order. They're going to get a Caesar salad and then they're going to have shrimp cocktail and steak. Like, if that's the part of Gilmore Girls we have to reenact, like, twist my arm, why don't you? Force would love me. To do that.
I know. That sounds really good.
And, like, I'm not a big martini person, but I would have a martini in that specific situation.
Yeah. If we're capital H having martinis, then I will for sure have one. I'll probably like it, but...
And I also like the way that Lorelai explained the vibe of the bar they're in. Like, it's just a known thing. She's like, no, it's a 60-40 bar. Mm-hmm. And her mom's like, you took me to a singles bar. Like, what? I'm titillated. and then she's like, no, it's like 60-year-old men hitting on 40-year-old women, like divorcee style.
Yeah. We're going to leave them if we're ready.
We're ready.
Okay. Let's go back to House of Lorelai's. Our intellectuals, Paris, Jess, and Rory, are eating around the kitchen table, and they're actually having, like, a pretty good time, it seems like. They're arguing about various authors. I wrote Bukowski because that's just the last one I caught, but they talk about a couple. Jess introduces Paris to hot sauce and salt and pepper on fries, and she seems to, like, actually be enjoying talking to him, which is unusual for Paris. And then fucking Dean calls. He's on his way over. And Roy's like, oh, don't. You do not do that. Because
I look terrible.
Yeah. She knows he's going to be so mad because she's not even remotely doing what she said she would be doing. And he is like, I'm just going to stop by. I think he knows. She tells him that Paris is there studying.
Yes. Yes.
So he's like, oh, so you're already not alone. I'll stop by. She can't get him. He's coming no matter what. And so Rory like throws Jess's jacket on him and tries to sort of kick him out quickly, but it doesn't work. He's like, who was on the phone? I know it's because of Dean, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like a little shit about it at every turn. He like won't leave. He gives her a hard time, literally pushing him out the door. And naturally, the second she actually like kicks him over the threshold, of course, Dean is right there on the steps up to their house.
It was giving me vibes of that Dawson's Creek episode where you reveal where Dawson is like behind the screen door the whole time.
Yep, exactly. Huge reveal. Even though everyone saw this coming a mile away, obviously. Dean is right there. Jess is immediately a dick about the ice cream Dean bought for no reason. At this point, I just started continuing to melt down. Like, oh my God. He storms in the house, pissed, finds Paris eating dinner and starts yelling about how Jess was clearly here hanging out. And Paris, who's like... desperately trying to stop this yelling that this man is doing, stands up and is like, oh, it was actually all my fault. I saw Jess at the store, whatever I thought, or at the diner. I thought he was so cute. And I asked Rory to set us up. I'm so embarrassed, whatever. And then she like leaves. And Dean is skeptical, but Rory affirms that this is the truth. And if she was going to have anyone over, if she was going to have anyone over at all, it would have been him. And he, like, kind of buys it. He does apologize for yelling, but...
But he's still, like, kind of holding himself back from her.
And Rory kisses him goodbye, and he leaves.
This was a big scene. A lot happened. Way back in the beginning, I do agree with Paris when she says to Jess, typical guy response, worship Kerouac and Bukowski. God forbid you'd pick up anything by Jane Austen. And of course, it's this show. He also has read Jane Austen and likes it. So, like, whatever. Good for him. But also the captions misspelled Austen, which I thought was funny.
That is funny. Yeah, I mean, it's just a nightmare. Jess is the fucking worst and Dean is also bad. And I wish they would both leave so that Rory and Paris could be together.
So true. Yeah, these lines where she's like, she says, Jess, I'm asking you as a friend, please leave now. And he's being such a little shit. And be like, oh, I twisted my ankle. Owie, are you sure you want me to go? I'm blocking the door so you physically can't make me leave.
Like, what will it take? Like, I know that the conceit in the show is like, oh, she really likes Jess. And so that's why this is hard. It's not coming through.
Nope. And again, to like, it really makes it stand out that Paris does this like beautiful gesture where she's like helping Rory and just makes it worse. Mm-hmm. Not just in a way of like, I want to be the romantic winner, but in a way of like, I want to make this like self-destruct in like the worst way possible.
Yeah. I want to goad this, this whatever ticking time bomb of a man into going off, because for what? Just to make, really just to make Rory's life harder. That's all you were doing.
Because part of what he says is like, oh, Dean, you're doing that thing again where you like loom over me looking threatening. So it's like, okay, Jess, like, I'm not saying that Dean is going to physically hurt Rory, but like, just put that together that if like he's intimidating you, like you don't want to make him mad and then leave him alone with your tiny, tiny girlfriend.
Right.
Or like, well, you're not your girlfriends, but you
right.
know.
Right. You're whatever it is that your obsession with Rory, I guess.
Yes.
Oh, God. It's so spooky. I hated it.
I love, I won't do the whole thing, but there's like little parts of like, Paris is still so Paris in the way that she like has this lie, like, but she's so good at it too. Like she commits 100% so that Dean will buy it as much as he does. But the way she says like, I'm not great at the whole batting the eyelashes, look at my belly shirt kind of thing. Yeah. I asked Rory to help me and like, you know, it seems totally stupid now and like shock it didn't work. Mm-hmm. Thanks for covering. I don't know. She just like has no shame and like throws herself on this grenade.
Absolutely. And yeah, like you said, like she sells it. She completely sells it. She buys it. Yes. And she is sort of Johnny on the spot with it. It doesn't take her long to think of this, which also makes it believable. Lie. It's a good lie. Yeah. And Rory, to her credit, Rory immediately jumps on board and is like, oh, thank God. Like, she sees what Paris is laying down. But yeah, it's crazy. Dean is like, okay, whatever. Oh, wait, did I just go or is this you? Or is this me? Yeah, I just went. So this is you.
Okay. Okay, great. So after, I guess, Dean has left, Rory asked Paris why she made up that story and saved her bacon. And Paris says it was payback, like Rory helped her tonight when she didn't want to. And Rory invites Paris to stay over and affirms that they are friends. Roll the tape. Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Paris says, we're friends, ? And Rory says, I'm not sure if there is an exact definition for what we are, but I do think it falls somewhere in the bizarro friends-ish realm. Come on, stay. And Paris says, okay, but if you're doing all of this so you can freeze my bra, I'll kill you.
Funny.
I love Paris.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like bizarro friends-ish realm is like just another way of saying more than friends.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I also love Paris's look. She's wearing like a dark, deep purple turtleneck. And then later, or maybe we saw it earlier too, but she has like a purple jacket over it that's like slightly different purple, but it's really good.
We've talked about color theory stuff on here before. And I'm still not 100% sold. However, I do feel like Paris is one of the people that would look really good in like the true winter palette, which is a lot of like really cold colors. And the only reason I remember is because I think like lavender is one of them. And lavender is like a hard color unless you're black, all colors look good on black people. But this lavender is like a hard color to accessorize or whatever. Like, it's a hard color to wear, but it looks really good on these people. I think it would look really good and does look good on Paris. So she might be like the true winter or whatever that palette is.
Yeah, it's interesting because I watch a lot of ASMR, like color palette or like finding your colors type videos. And something that some creators have started talking about, which I think is really important, is that like for people with black skin or darker skin, you still can be like a winter or a summer or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like making sure people know how to like recognize that and like see that like, yeah, there is actually a difference in different tones of skin,
nice.
Not just in different tones of like white people's skin. So I don't know if that's happening in the real color analysis world, but glad they're doing it. They're at least trying to nod to that in the ASMR fake color analysis world.
Totally. I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't be realistic because yeah, all of the variations that they're doing on white people also exist in black people, like variations. Yes. Skin tone and like warmth
and like versus, eye color and like hair color and things like that. Yeah, like undertones.
Yeah,
it's you, my love.
It's me. We're eating good in the spa, but we're not which in the is spa. Really
what a lie. The jazzy, jazz club,
the jizzy jazz club. Emily loves this steak. She tells Lorelai about a 2 weeks where she and her father, where she and Richard spent 2 weeks eating spicy hot chilies nude in Thailand. The band plays. The man that was watching Emily, which did we talk about that? Like before Lorelai's like, there's a guy watching you. I don't remember if we mentioned them.
I think Emily was like, who, me?
Yeah.
What?
The man that was watching Emily has come over and he pulls up a seat next to them. He asks Emily to dance. She tries to refuse, but he leads her. Not like she's like, no, no, I couldn't possibly. And eventually is convinced to go out on the dance floor. He leads her out. They dance to a faster song, but afterwards a slow one starts and this guy keeps dancing with Emily, holding her really close, slow dancing. She seems uncomfortable and tries to leave suddenly. I have to go, and goes to the coat check to collect her coat. Lorelai follows her over there. And Emily says that she feels like she practically cheated on Richard. She's like very upset and angry. Lorelai says it was just a dance. She was just having fun. She didn't actually cheat on Richard. But the night sort of turns at this point, and Emily will not be swayed. She says Lorelai dragged her here, kept pushing and pushing her and forcing her to engage in inappropriate behavior with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Emily storms out. The band continues to groove on.
Yeah, it's classic Emily that she not only is like, ah, that was wrong, but she has to be like, Lorelai, it's your fault.
Right. And she has such a big response to it. Like, I don't know. She really accidentally got herself into, well, that's not right. She's accidentally found herself in like a really uncomfortable situation for her. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting the way she just like kind of wakes up into it. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just like she suddenly is no longer having fun and has to leave.
Right. I mean, it almost feels like maybe if she and Richard weren't, I mean, I don't know where they are in their marital problems at this point in the series because we haven't watched some of the intervening episodes, but like, I wonder if she would not have felt that way if their marriage was strong, but because it is a little shaky, she suddenly was like, whoa, 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 this could actually be on a road to somewhere. Yeah, and I liked, I wrote I would fuck this guy. I don't know how accurate that is, but I thought given that he was in a 60-40 club making his move, like trying to tell Lorelai and Emily that they look like sisters, he was pretty good at the banter. And I think it was like fairly successful flirtation.
Yeah, he was pretty hot. He had full head of hair. I mean, Silver Fox, yeah. Obviously, but like whatever.
And he was going for Emily, not like, you know,
right.
Lorelai.
Right, right. So probably like a normal-ish person.
Totally. I wrote, like, of course, ASP and her hats love old people playing jazz and doing jazz adjacent banter up on stage. Like, the band is like, you know, going to play the chairman of the board. Hope it's not B-O-R-E-D.
Yeah.
Board. We're old and white.
Get it?
This is our jazz music. Like, I just know she was writing and directing for that sequence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was on set every day for those shots.
Yep. She was being like, can you give it a little more ska-ba-ba-doo-ba about bamboo?
I really loved this second note that you've put here where you said I feel like Richard would be into a darling save the last dance for me scenario where all other men lust after Emily and she dances and or flirts with them but then like brings it all home to Big Richie. 100%. There's no doubt in my mind that they've done that before and that this just freaked Emily out because she didn't have the, you know, the checks and balances that they usually put in when doing something like that.
I totally agree. It just really sucks that that's always her go-to. Like, there's things about their relationship where, yes, Lorelai can be a bit of a pill, but, like, the fact that Emily takes this to a blaming Lorelai and not just being like, don't tell me what to do, like, I do need to leave, and, like, that's what she's mad about. She's like, you drag me to this chop house, like, yeah. Only hookers sit at the bar. So, like, obviously I was going to do something bad, but we're sitting in the sex worker corner.
Right, right. All right, are we ready to go to Lorelai's room? Sorry, we're crying a little bit today in the background.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were doing some more scat with the jazz band.
I'm saying, quiet.
Yeah.
It's really
cool. You tell her.
It's really close to walkies time.
I liked when Emily said, you let me get 60-40.
Oh, yeah, me too.
It just sounded like something so real that was not real at all.
Well, it sounds like, I don't know the actual term, but it sounds like 49-50 or whatever that thing is where you get like held against
like
your will.
Mental health.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, they storm back to the BGS. They're in Lorelai's room. Lorelai is packing when Emily comes in. Emily thanks her for agreeing to leave early. She says she like got the bellhop and stuff to come get their bags. Emily asks why she and Lorelai can't have what Lorelai and Rory have and doesn't understand why it's so different. Emily says she did what she thought was right to protect Lorelai, but now they have no relationship. And Lorelai posits that maybe they need to start with something simpler than an intense weekend getaway together, which someone, I think, they were saying the whole time. And Lorelai wants them to both steal the spa robes that Emily's obsessed with together. The robe will be symbolic of their trip together if they get away with it or not. It's something they did together.
Yeah. I thought this was, at first I was not sold on this robe thing, but it does end up working, like, and it does end up exciting Emily, and it's like a thing that they, at least one good touchstone, good thing that happened on this trip.
Right. Well, that's why on The Bachelor, they make them go like skydiving and stuff, because like high adrenaline activities do give you like a accelerated sense of bonding with people.
Smart. So smart. Yeah. Trauma bonding in a way.
Exactly. Yep. This run, it's just so interesting the way that Lorelai and Emily see their relationships for various reasons. Like the fact that one of Lorelai's lines is, Rory and I are best friends, Mom. We're best friends first and mother and daughter second. Like, I hope the show starts to understand soon how that is also not great.
So I do think that that rhetoric, like, is, I think we learned as a society that that was also not good, like, because of this show. Mm-hmm. I think before Gilmore Girls, it wasn't, like, that was the goal. Like, for a parent to be best friends with their kid. Or not the goal, but, like, that was a future.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah, exactly. A future that people romanticize. And now I feel that after post-Gilmore Girls, we have a little more, at least I personally have a little more perspective on, like, no, you can't be your kid's friend because you can't be their friend and their parent.
Right. You can have a lot of fun and, like, closeness and stuff, but it's not the same as being a friend. It's still right. Great. You can still have a lot of fun together, but.
Right. It's just different. And if you try to make yourself friends, your child will be missing out on having a parent. But clearly at this time.
Right.
That was not here in this show, at least at this time, we know that Lorelai and Rory are friends first and mother and daughter second, as Lorelai says. Right. And that's not
even coming from Rory. It's coming from the adult. Right. Being like, don't worry. This is all set.
Yeah.
So, it's also interesting that then it lets it become a thing of Emily being like, I wasn't taught to be best friends with my daughter. I was taught to be a role model. I was taught to keep her safe.
Right.
And we sort of just go with that as like the outlines for this argument, when in the past it's really seemed like, well, Emily, the issue is that you and Richard didn't accept her for who she was and were very punishing. Like, I guess that could be part of the same conversation, but it feels like that lets us go away and be like, the issue we're talking about is whether or not we were best friends when you were growing up. And like, that feels like we're sidestepping the actual issues in their relationship.
Yeah, agreed. Because their actual issues are like too big for them to talk about right now.
Yes.
I guess.
Yes. I did like this last line. I think maybe you pulled it, but yeah, where Emily's like, do you ever steal a robe with Rory? And Lorelai's like, Rory would never steal. She's far too moral for that. You, however, vicious trollop, what's it going to be? Like, I like that sense of like, our relationship isn't like mine and Rory's, but like we can have our own cool things.
Right, right. Here's a cool, fun thing that we can have. Rory would never do this with me. And I think that gives Emily this perspective of like, I'm opening up a window for us to bond in. Do you want to take it? And she's like, yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So suddenly she gets it. She's like, oh, it's not about the robe. Okay.
It's an impressive save, given how direly things turned in the Jizz Club.
Seriously. Okay, are we ready for the debrief in Luke's diner? Okay. Rory and Lorelai are debriefing at a table in Luke's construction zone. There's a long line of waiting customers behind them as they linger. I only mention that because that's horrible. I mean, among the people waiting is Kirk or Kurt, whatever his name is. So, like, it's definitely a comedic moment, but you know me. I'm just like, get out of there.
Yes.
Lorelai asks Rory what's on the agenda for the day. Rory tells her almost, or on the agenda for the week, Rory tells her almost exclusively Dean because he's been so mad. God. And she leaves to get the check. While Rory's up there, she thanks Luke for the care package. It was really sweet. Luke, of course, knows of no care package and just quickly finds an excuse to like have him go away and do something else. And he finishes ringing Rory up. While he's doing that, Rory questions him and says she likes watching him squirm. I put these air quotes there because it's a little too sexual for me. Please use a different word.
That's true. It is dripping with sensuality and I'm not into it. Honestly, I don't care if you fuck him, Rory, but just like be honest with yourself and Dean and everyone and stop being like, I love to watch you squirm because, like, I don't want to date you.
I know, exactly. Like, either be into it or not. I will follow you either way. But, yeah, but because then I have to spend this time being like, is Jess forcing himself on this person or does she actually like him? And if you would just say that you at least are interested, then I could stop worrying about that.
Yeah, and it would stop being so, like, weirdly precious. Like, I don't know. Like, the fact she's denying that it's sexual, like, makes it feel weird to me. And, like, Dean's being a shithead in this episode, obviously, but he's also being, like, lied to.
Big time.
Speaking of, so the sort of the last scene of the episode, we're outside the diner. And Dean is standing outside looking through with his big, watery, sad dog eyes. Wow, dogs are really the theme today.
True.
At Rory having that conversation with Jess inside the diner, Lorelai walks up and tells Dean she knows about what happened and she feels really bad about it. And Dean's like, yeah, I know. And Rory wouldn't lie, right? And Lorelai affirms that Rory would never lie. The end, like period on the end of that sentence.
Don't even bother asking. No further comment. Dean continues to be Gene Dean. So fucking scary. And there's no change at the end of this when he's just like sadly watching his girlfriend just have a conversation with somebody and he's just like,
Also, I don't like this weird pattern we've been in before where he and Lorelai have like convos about Rory and his relationship.
Uncool.
No, it's a little uncomfy. Maybe I'll add that to the Gilmore Guide to Life of like, you should not be having heart to hearts with you shouldn't be your child's best friend. And you shouldn't be having heart to hearts with their romantic partner. As well as your point about taking a bath in anything other than water.
I believe what I said is taking a bath in everything other than water might be too much. So you can take that to the bank.
You can put that on a thong.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, that's the end of season 2, episode 16. There's the rub. Do we want to talk about our little segments? I guess you just started Gilmore Guide to Life.
Yes. And for fun facts, the two that I had were Paris, when she calls her nanny, we heard her speaking, I'm sure, bad Portuguese before. And this time she's speaking bad Spanish, which just, again, feels like whoever's in that writer's room.
Come on.
Like, yeah, that's embarrassing.
Like, pick one.
Get it together. Yeah. Those are different things.
Big time.
And the other one was that when Emily is in the bar, she says she doesn't dance. I don't remember this, but according to the thing, she says she doesn't dance. And in reality, Kelly Bishop was in the original Broadway cast of A Chorus Line, which also makes sense because she plays a dancer in that other show that What's Her Buns did, Bunheads.
Oh, yes. Oh, interesting. Okay. We love dancers or whatever. Amy Sherman Palladino loves dancers.
Yeah.
Fuck, marry, kill.
I mean, kill myself to get out of this situation.
Kill Rory, put her out of her misery.
Yeah. and then make everyone feel really guilty and be like, you did this by not giving her alone time. Yeah, okay, great.
Killing Rory. Jail. Yeah, killing Rory, but for a purpose.
Yes, for revenge on others. Yeah,
to teach a lesson.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to fuck Lorelai because, I don't know, she's just, like, looking good in this spa scenario.
I can see that.
And I'm going to marry Paris.
Yes.
Because she gets me.
Yeah.
For the most part. She didn't understand why Rory wanted to be alone, which we might have to work on. But I feel like if she was explained exactly what Rory wanted, she would understand.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think I'll, since I mentioned it before, I'll fuck that guy who was trying to dance with Emily.
That's a good one.
And I think I would also marry Paris because she looked really good and I was just like loved her heroism in that moment. Yeah. And besides killing Rory, I would like put a clothesline on the front door so everyone who tried to interrupt her would just get like instantly beheaded when they tried to walk in.
Ooh, like an electric doorbell kind of a situation, but it just kills them.
Yes. Totally. Yes. And I'd make sure to tell the Indian food delivery guy not to ring the doorbell.
Just call me when you're outside. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And is Rory the villain? No, I think she is very much the victim in this one.
That is very true. I did think that conversation, as much as Dean is being a creepo at the end when Lorelai and Dean are like, Rory would never lie, is the show like leading us into like, okay, we're going to make your little friend Rory a little more complicated now.
Absolutely. I had the same instinct. And I think you're right. Yeah. I mean, judging by the vibes, it seems like, Rory is going to start having some villain thoughts. Maybe we'll see.
Yes, but nothing villainous on wanting her alone time. Everyone else was the villain to her.
Big time. She is not to be harmed for this episode.
But speaking of like this episode versus future episodes, what do we have to look forward to coming up?
So not next week, but the week after, we're going to be talking about season 2, episode 19, Teach Me Tonight. And it's an action-packed episode. During a tutorial, Jess persuades Rory to take a drive and crashes her car, landing her in the hospital, and Lorelai rages at Luke for putting her daughter's life in danger. Drama.
I mean, that's a little worse than losing the bracelet that Dean gave you to let another man crash the car that he built for you while you guys are having a secret alone time.
Yeah, not great. Especially since we know that teaching somebody how to drive is an international symbol of eroticism based off,
so true.
Off of Dawson's Creek.
It might as well be like the peach emoji.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know what's going down. But what's going down right now is that I want to say thank you to the creator of our theme music, Laurel Aretha Victor's, on creativecommons.wikimedia.org.
You can follow us on Instagram, and that's it, at BoobTube Forever. And we're on Patreon, patreon.com/BoobTube. Watch that space for maybe a future Tisket Trasket breakdown at some point.
Yep, as well as our Sex in the City touch base that
bonus
is
up, yes.
On its way. And that's it. We'll see you.
Give me a ticket, mister. What can I do to like appeal to your passionate side?
Lesbians do love friendship and poetry.
You know, it's called an English degree. Look it up.
Look it up, bitch.
Worried about him. You okay, bud?
What have I viewed here today?
No! Sorry. No! I won't do it.
Yeah, I'm making it sound really unpleasant to listen to.
No,
but like, 10 out of 10,
I'm intrigued. BRB. I have some AO3 keywords to gotta do some searches. Yes.